you, not the English, the Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, you see on top of the page, it says, this is really something quite remarkable. If you look underneath the heading there, it says, this was a hidden treasure that was found in the amongst the manuscripts of the grandson of a grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. And there is a copy of this manuscript that was in the possession of the Rebbe Maharash, not of Lubavitch, but it's speaking about the Rebbe Maharash, the Divrei Shmuel from Slonim, the Slonim Rebbe. That we were able to get hold of or a copy of this manuscript from one of the important Slonim Chassidim. Now there are 10 points here where this is, apparently this was handed down in the family of the Baal Shem Tov. These 10 nekudas, these 10 points basically summarize the entire Torah of Baal Shem Tov. These 10 points. And everything that I have ever spoken about over the 7 years that the shul's in existence fit into one of these 10.
Is this written in the Ksavi out of the Baal Shem Tov?
It's not clear that it's from the Ksavi out of the Baal Shem Tov. Apparently, it was from the Mishpacha, and it was considered to be a very important, reliable document. But it was not from the Ksav Yad of the Baal Shem Tov himself, no. But it was from somebody that was close to the Baal Shem Tov, apparently in his family, that absorbed his teachings in a very deep way, and did a remarkable job in summarizing the 10 points. And the... what you know, it's a soul, I guess.
What's it going on? What is
it? Yeah, okay, you're with my mother. What we're going to be discussing, what we're going to be studying in the Svarma Kedoshim over the next 6 weeks or 2 months from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, you'll see every single thing that we're going to learn is going to fit into one of these categories, and then you'll understand. Already you'll understand because you'll see it'll coming back to so many things we've been talking about over the years, but then you'll understand what a remarkable little document this is. How all the anything that you study from the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov, from the Teres of Baal Shem Tov, returns to one of these 10. These 10 nekudas, these 10 points. So let's learn them together. And then we're going to begin to actually get to work on one of the major nekudas. We'll do different, from these points, we'll study different teachings in the Baal Shem Tov on each one of these points. So by the time we go through around, the next 2 months or so, we'll have a well-rounded experience of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings. And the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov, of course, woe is them, but the Baal Shem Tov himself, the authentic teachings, traditions of the Baal Shem Tov himself, which is what we're studying now. So let's look at quickly. I'm not going to elaborate over here, because it's ridiculous to start elaborating. Each one here you can speak about for hundreds of years. And I've already been speaking about it for many years. So just to summarize, Aleph. It begins, Baal Shem Tov, Limit Talmud of HaKadoshim, Daito HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov taught his holy students His holy opinion regarding the essence of Yiddishkeit. Aleph. Ein b'chol ha'tarek kula. U'b'chol ha'ilam kula irak or ein saif baruch hu ha'mistata b'hem. That means that in the entire Torah and in the entire world, there is nothing other than the light of the infinite light of God that is concealed therein, in everything that exists and in the Torah. V'chol ha'psukim ein od milvado. In all these verses, there is nothing besides Hashem. Es ha'shamayim ves ha'aretz ani mole. I fill the heavens and the earth. Hein kepshuta mamish. It's not a philosophical, it's not some sort of a philosophical speculation, but it's pshuta mamish. Poshut pshat. That the Baruch Shalom, when it says in Pasuk, there is nothing but God, and I fill heaven and earth, it means poshut. Now, you have to be a student of philosophy and have read many, many things to know that that itself is a revolutionary statement. They say it's a kipshuta mamish, and a lot of people are upset about that. They say that's the pashut pshat. It's not something that we sense God's existence, so we're in touch with His presence. It's pshuta mamish, that He fills all of reality. Shein l'cha b'chol ma'isei, or b'chol dibur, b'chol hirhur. There isn't an action, a word, or even a thought where there isn't the essence of godliness concealed and constricted. In every single thought, word, or action in this world, inside of that, concealed within that, there is elokut, there is godliness mamish. Therefore, a Jew who is able to look and to see with his mind's eye, You don't see that with your eye, but with your mind's eye. Al kol hadvarim asher neged einav, anything that he sees in his life, mitzad pnimiyusam v'chiyusam, if you look with the mind's eye and try to gaze upon the pnimiyus, the inner essence, and the chiyus and the life force of that thing which you're looking at, not only in a shallow or superficial way, but be'emes, in a pnimiyistic way, all you will see is koach eloki shebesoichem. You will only see the godly energy and force that is within it, hamachayoisem, that gives life to it, umahavim, and brings it into existence, umakayimim, and sustains it b'chal eisreg every single moment. Vashomeya boyz naim keshuvais, and whoever has good ears, who really can listen, lekol apnimi, to the inner sound, the inner voice, shibesoich hakol hagashmi, that's within the physical sound, hanishmal is not that anybody can hear with their ears. Lo yishma rakol elokim, all you will hear is the sound of God. Hamachaya, who gives life, umahavim, brings into existence, beregahu, that moment, mamish, hakol ashehu shameya, the sound that you're able to hear. That's Aleph. Beis. Golos Hashchina, this concept that's found throughout the writings of of Chazal, the Zohar, and Kabbalah, and so on, the Kisvari, the concept, or the reality of the exile of the Divine Presence. Golos Hashchina, the Baal Shem Tov taught, Yikara lahavayis v'kayach eloki, hamachayim ahavas achaytei, ba'eis chet oy mamish. Golos Hashchina, the exile of the Divine Presence, is referring to the godly koach, the godly energy that gives life to a person, to the sinner, at the very moment that he is sinning. That's the Golos Hashchina. In other words, the Golos Hashchina, we think of the Shchinta Begalusa, of the Divine Presence in exile. We think that Nebuchadnezzar, the Baruch Hu, must have schlep with us to New York. And then the Baruch Hu, the Shchina, has to schlep with us, to Switzerland and to Tayman and to who? Morocco. And that the Shchinta Begalusa is schlepping with us. So the Baal Shem Tov taught that Shchinta Begalusa, the most profound manifestation of the Divine Presence in exile, is that even at the moment that a Jew is rebelling against God, it's only God Himself that gives the Jew that energy to survive, to do that. That's found already in the Ramak in the Talmud Dvar in the beginning. But the Baal Shem Tov emphasized this is the meaning of Shchinta Begalusa. And if you think of that at the moment that you're doing something against God's will, if you're saying a word of Lashon and you stop and you think that if not for the energy of God that is running through my body this moment, I wouldn't be able to say this. I wouldn't be able to open my mouth. I couldn't utter a word. That's Shchinta Begalusa. That Hashem is in exile in those words, thoughts, and actions that are rebellious, that rebel against Him, kivyochel. That's the deepest exile of the Shechina. Not in some place, some location far away. You can be standing by the Kaisel, and if you turn to your friend and you say, God forbid, a word of Lashon Hara by the Kaisel, Shchinta Begalusa. The divine presence is in exile. At the very moment that you're sinning, it's the master of the world that gives you the strength to sin against Him. And as the Talmud Dvar writes, the Ramak writes at the beginning, the very beginning of Talmud Dvar, that's why God is called the Melech Nel of a humiliated, disgraced king. That Ad Kedekach, that he gives you the very same koich, he gives you that koich which in a second he could remove from you. And you wouldn't be able to lift up your hand, and then the koch that you're using, that hand, to turn on that switch, God forbid, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, that koch comes to the master of the world Himself.
This occurred also by Anwarishon, and starting from there, no?
Yeah, yeah. And this is 100%. And this is the Midah. And this Midah that Hashem tolerates, that the Ramak says, is the Midah of Mikel Kamoch. Who could be compared to God? Who is like Hashem that bears, that tolerates such degradation and humility that he is in exile? And where is he in exile? He's not taken away somewhere to Rome. He's in exile in the very energy that you're using to speak a word of Lashon Hara, or that you're using to turn your eyes and look at something that God doesn't want you to look at. And you're using that very same energy that He's giving you against Him. That is the deepest manifestation of Shechinta Begalusa, the Divine Presence in Exile. Gimel. Pretty much each one of these got the Chassidim in trouble. Each one of these. Since these are the Ikka Chedushim of the Baal Shem Tov, even though, for instance, the one that we just saw is found in the Ramak. The Ramak was a Mekubal Eloki that was accepted by everybody. Nevertheless, the way that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his students worked these things over caused a lot of aggravation to the Misnagdim.
How does that Beis get you in trouble?
How does
something that seems to incite problems? The concept of
why there's a concept that's developed in other writings that at the moment that a person is sinning, the divine presence departs from the individual, wouldn't be attached to the individual. The Baal Shem Tov taught that in the word chait, the Aleph is silent. Because the Aleph means Aluthu Shel Olam. It means the master of the universe. It means Hashem. In the very word chait, God is there. It's just, He's there. Now, there are others who said that at the moment of sin, everybody agrees that a person would die without Hashem's continuously sustaining the person. Nevertheless, the idea that a person on all levels of nefesh, ruach, neshama, and so on is continuing to exist at the moment is being sustained by the master of the world while he's rebelling against the master of the world, this is considered to be somewhat revolutionary. And we'll talk more about it. Gimel. Hayet Sahara Vataivis, the evil inclination and desires. Heimer Shluchi Amokim. These are in truth messengers of the king himself. And they're performing the will of the one who sent them. Lefatay says Adam to seduce, to mislead the individual. Laman yigbar layim, so that man could exercise his free choice and will be able to defeat the Yetzar and the Taivis. But they're shluch hamakim, they're messengers of Hashem. Umehem yilmad liyas gibra kamaisa. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on Shabbos, and from the very shluchim, from those very same messengers who are sent by Hashem to mislead you, to deceive you, you should learn to strengthen yourself like them and to carry out your shlichus, to carry out as faithfully the job, the mission that you were sent to accomplish in this world. So just like you see the Yetzar doesn't take a break. The Yetzar does take a break. When you go on vacation, the Yetzar comes with you. You ever have a thing that you go on vacation, the Yetzar stays home? Never happened. No? You go to work, the Yetzar goes with you. Gets a Beis Medrash, the Yetzar goes with you. Never takes a vacation. It doesn't stop working. No? So we can learn. So Mida Taiva. You can learn from that. You can learn from the Yetzar. That the only way to accomplish something is by working at it continuously. You can't take a vacation from Vedas Hashem. Yetzirah doesn't take vacations. You can't take a vacation either. The entire day and throughout the night, the Yetzirah and Taibas refuse to remain silent. From their this perpetual frantic effort to mislead a person. The person sees something, he wants it. The person hears something, he wants it. As Chazal tells in the Zohar Kodesh, that the shluchim, the taivas, the eight saharas, rejoices in carrying out God's will. They do it faithfully, and they do it with simcha, with sasim and simcha. Kain lo yoser, so too. Lo yoser ha'odom yimachshavto asher etzayin koina hu lizgaber. You should never for a moment remove it from your thoughts. That it is God's will at that moment that you defeat that Yetzirah. Aki emoshel berucha to you, a person who rules over your own spirit, who rules over your own thoughts and feelings. M'chol ha'tayvis yu nechnoim elov ad yehovchem la'tayv. And all of these tayvis should submit to you until finally they're transformed into good. Until finally they're elevated, they're corrected. And this is the Baal Shem Tov taught. This is hinted at in the pasuk that says, "Kimi menu nikach lavedes Hashem." Shmoyshev said to Paro, "Kimi menu nikach lavedes Hashem." We will take. That was the very animals that were worshipped by Paro and Mitzrayim. We will take these to serve Hashem. We will take these to serve Hashem. It was those the very koach. The very same reality that is machshel, that could be makalka, that could destroy and distort, distort reality, those very same kaiches you could take, you must take, and bring them into the service of HaKadosh Baruch. But Suleiman Mehem, Nilmud Lasses Kamaisam, from the Yetzar, from the Taivis, we should learn how to continue to, we should learn how to act and behave in such a way. There's enough for the person of understanding. Dalit. Ein ra yorid min ha-shamayim. There is no evil that descends from heaven. There is no evil. Evil does not come from Hashem. What does that mean? Kain makarlo, there's no source for evil. U'baharash ha-nimtza yesh le-kayach p'nimi ha-mechayayis. It means, we know that there's misery in the world. That's not an illusion. What the Baal Shem Tov taught was that, and we've discussed this so many times, this past week we were talking on Shabbos about Yitzchak and the Hamtakas Adinim, to find the Chesed inside the Din, to break through the Heyud Mem, to get to the Aleph Lamed, Chesed Kel Kalayim, that's beneath the Din. So the Baal Shem Tov taught that pure evil cannot exist. There is no such thing as pure evil. There must be a Koach Pnimi HaMechayai, so there must be an inner force that is giving life to that which seems to be totally evil. V'hu Toiv Gomer. And that Toiv HaGon is that hidden Toiv, that good, is what enables that to exist, which enables that which appears to us in its present state to be evil to exist. It's only because of the Toiv Gomer, because of the complete good that's concealed within it. V'lachain, therefore, im Yabit al Hara, mitzad Pnimi Yusau, therefore, if you're able to gaze upon, to look upon, to meditate upon the inner core of that which is evil, Lo yira rak ha-toiv shabo, you will only see the good in it. Hey. Ha-adam tzarech lehizdabeg ba'asher hu oimer. A person has to attach himself, to cleave to the words that he himself says. not to lose attention to what you yourself are saying. To be very careful with every single word that you're saying. Because in all worlds, there's a soul and there's godliness. And when a man finds in whatever it is that he's saying, whatever it is that he's describing at that time in life, if a person focuses and thinks carefully, that person can be mizdabik, can attach himself, can cleave to godliness in every single word that the person utters. We're going to see that very shortly in the Tzavos of Hashem, in what's called the Last Will and Testament of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, about being mizdabig, about in every single word that a person is saying, even a word that seems to be mundane, even something that seems to have nothing to do with godliness, with holiness, but in every word, and that's how the tzaddikim spoke, and that's how that every single word they were focused on what is it that word, in its deeper meaning, in its deeper sense, what is it? How does it relate to elokus, to godliness? Anything that takes place in the world, even a kal shabakal, like the Baal Shem Tov said, even how a leaf falls off the tree on this side or on that side, every single thing that happens in the world, even the kal shabakal, even what seems to be this least significant event, hakol me Hashem isbarach, everything is from Hashem. And therefore, man should not pay attention whether it went your way or it didn't go your way. It went God's way. Your business is using your choice in a proper way. But as far as what's happening in the world, don't make yourself meshuga. If you did your best to catch the bus and it didn't work out, the bus came a couple minutes early, so don't stand around, kicking the sign, the bus stop sign, or the person that also came late. But to accept that there's a Rabbanu Shalom that's mashgiach in every single thing that's with hashgacha pratis. Zayin. This sentence says it's not thinking about death, and it's not fear of punishment, of the punishment of hell, that arouses a Jew's heart to serve the master of the world. What arouses, what awakens a Jew to return to God, truthfully, not just out of fear, like a frightened animal, that will temporarily, that will for a short while just be careful not to do a virus, but to really, truly return to God, it only comes as a result of tshuka, of the longing, of the yearning, lizdabik b'mekar chayim atov, to attach yourself to the source of life that is purely good. Lo hatanis, and it's not fasting, v'sigufim, and tormenting yourself, ma'ilim, that's not what helps. That doesn't bring you back to Hashem. Achashikcha b'nafshay machmas tshuka. Man drifts away from God because he forgets the longing of his own soul. He doesn't identify, he doesn't understand, he doesn't pay attention anymore to the yearnings of his own neshama. Ches. Kol ha'adam b'fnei atzmu toirin shleima ruchanis. Every person within himself is like a complete Torah that has to be studied and understood. Achim ha'olech b'derech Hashem nislab shabay k'fi madrigoso. And if you follow to the best of your ability, if you follow the will of Hashem, then that Torah shleima will be mislabish in you. You'll become enclosed. In other words, you're like a walking Torah. You become then the oisius, then the letters, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, then the letters of that which is called you as a Torah are enlivened, are illuminating, and you become a person who is the embodiment of Torah. Tes. Kishum is pala al darva nachutzlai. When you daven for something that you need badly, that's important to you. You kaven lis pala al chiyas elokusam estatibay mechayehu. Shubit sarami hadarva chosalam. Well, Shem Tov said that if you daven for something that you need, but it's just a need that will satisfy you physically, even if it's a very noble physical need, like having enough money to support the family or to pay tuition for yeshivas and so on, it's a very noble need. Nevertheless, the Baal Shem Tov said that you shouldn't have in mind simply that physical need that will fulfill your that which is absent, that which is missing in your life. But instead, what you should think of is the tzar of the Shechina. What you should think of is the tzar, the anguish of the divine presence of Hashem, of the Shechina. That what happens that if I'm not able. In other words, it's not a question of, we've spoken about this also very often, it's not a question of, I want to be able to have the food on my table because we enjoy the food and because my children will be able to live and will be able to exist. It's that if there's a Jew who isn't well, if there's a Jew who's hungry, then the Shechina says, the Shechina cries out, Kalani Miroyushi, Kalani Miroyushi, Gevalt, Hashem says, I'm in pain. And you should think, therefore, your kavanah should be, when you're davening for something, that it's not simply the piece of food that I'm davening for, but it's the godliness that is contained within the food, A, and B. The fact that once that food will be, the proper bracha will be made, and the food will be eaten, that the person who's eating the food should have the koach to serve Hashem. Therefore, yevakish ma'ashem l'rachem al chiyusa mistatibot. Therefore, you should ask Hashem to have rachmanis. You ask Hashem, have pity on the godliness that is contained within this thing, within this person, within this time of my life, or that person's life. Have rachmanis on the godliness that's on your own shechina that's not able to be fully revealed because of health or panasa. And when we daven, we should be able to make more panasa, so we'd be able to support more yeshivas and to be able to give to people who are in need. And to be able to help other Jews and so on. So then when a person has those kavanas, so instead of it being something which is simply to satisfy his own personal need, but it takes on cosmic significance. It takes on much greater importance and significance because you're davening for the elokus, for the godliness to be, for more of God's presence to be revealed in the world. And the last, Hashgacha b'pratiyas si al kol ha'nevroim. Hashgacha pratiyas, specific divine providence is not only for human beings, not only related to human beings, but it's al kol ha'nevroim for everything that exists. Gam al ha'domim v'atzaimchim, even for inanimate objects like rocks and so on, and tzaimchim and plants. Ke'en lo chadovish lo yiyu mashgichim alav milamala b'chal ha'pratim, because every single thing, whether it's a human being, or an animal, or a plant, or an inanimate object, every single thing is part of the Hashgacha Pratis. V'akol nasa b'kavonim yuchedes, and everything that's happening in the world, even to inanimate objects, is with a kavonim yuchedes, that there's a specific purpose and reason why that's happening, even to that inanimate object.
Am I correct in assuming that machshavas are not included in that?
Right.
So why not?
If
you are humiliating God, you can humiliate him with machshava also. Why does it have to be a mice?
Right. The question of how much of man's thoughts are within his own reach, how much of man's thoughts, it's a complicated subject. It's not so simple because we're going to learn. There are teachings from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We can say as follows. To a large extent, man's thoughts are completely up to him. But we know that there are many occasions where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interferes with those thoughts, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters into those thoughts, and therefore we have Therefore, we have teachings from the Baal Shem Tov and from his Talmidim, from the students, that even that when a person, sometimes a person is not trying to think of anything negative, the person's minding his own business, trying to daven, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, it's like something. It's not a person who's watching television and looking at magazines to understand all the, that's not boom. That's, he worked on that, that he has those thoughts. It was a malacha, you understand? You know, a person thinks, well, I don't understand, I didn't watch a television show since a half hour ago. Why is it bothering my, why is it staring my shemines, right? I mean, that's not a kasha. Television shows that we watched, as we all know, that we saw, movies that we saw 30 years before, 40 years ago, continue to stare, right? So that's not a kasha. The kasha is that it seemed like, you know, you're really working on yourself and mitten it in, like, you know, you get like a machshava. So we'll see from the teachings of Baal Shem Tov himself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there are such things that take place, that when the person, his avodah needs to be enlivened, and he needs to be worked b'skafya, to be a soldier and to fight, and he's maybe softening his stance. So there is such a thing. There is such a thing. And on other levels too, it says in Pasuk, Lev Malach B'Yad Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly does tamper with thoughts. And the writings of Ishbitz, it's a very, very pronounced subject. And the writings of the Tzaddikah from Ishbitz, more by the Mashiloch, and by Rabbi Geshen Hanach, by the Beis Yaakov, it was softened a little bit. But by the grandfather and the grandsons, pretty much. I mean, you only understand that after you return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But pretty much, you know, even every single thought, but that's something that's not healthy for us to think about and to study those teachings. You know, the Ishbitz is becoming more and more popular, even though, you know, at the beginning of the Sefer it says all over, you know, this is only written for people who are used to our teachings and who have studied this and so on. But I guess, somebody wrote something in English that caused quite a few of my students to get very confused, that wrote a work on the Ishbitz in English. And without properly, you know, explaining and working it through and where is it coming from, it could cause a great deal of confusion. Because there, in the writings of Ishbitz, the free choice is very, 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 very limited. Very limited. It's not mainstream Hasidic thought. It certainly is not mainstream Hasidic thought. But in answer to the question, is there the presence of God in the thought? The answer is absolutely. To what degree is he influencing your ultimate decisions? That's a very big subject. And it's discussed very often in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. It's not partial. It's not simple. But we should assume that that's not happening at all. Our job is to be the masters of our thoughts. We shouldn't assume that at all. It could be it's happening, but we shouldn't assume that. Obviously a person just sits back and says, well, you know, this thought, it's okay, it was the British lumps.
You say, I think
from
Sean Esther,
you say,
but
you're
the
Ratzon. He writes on, may the thoughts of my heart be in your presence. May they be in your presence. But we don't, not that I can't recall. Look, we have tefillas. We have tefillas for Bidavim, for people to help us do tshuva, to help other Jews do tshuva, correct? So the Maharsha and many of the other Mefarshim, Rishonim and Achronim, explained, what does that mean? What point is there to daven that somebody else should do tshuva? What is the meaning of davening that someone else should return to God? Can my davening influence someone to have a hira tshuva? Or it says in the Svarim that a good thing that I do could influence that maybe my grandson will have a hira tshuva. That there is such a thing. Or the famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov that we've spoken about so often, when Chazal said that there's a baskol that goes out, there's a voice that goes out. Right, a bas kol goes out from heaven, from Har Sinai, the Gemara's Chazal say, and it's calling to each and every Jew to return. So the Baal Shem Tov asked, well, whoever heard such a bas kol, the Teretz is, that feeling, that thought that you have, suddenly out of nowhere, you didn't work for it, it wasn't like you were sitting, and you were learning a piece of, you know, Mesil Sharp, but you have this sudden surge within you to become a better person, a better Jew. Where does that come from? So the Baal Shem Tov said it. That's the bas kol. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the sound is still being heard. So that's not tampering with a person's feelings and thoughts. It certainly is. It certainly is. And I mentioned before the summer with Rabbi Nachman, maybe it was even after the summer, Rabbi Nachman said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his hints all the time. First he whispers it to you. And if you don't hear it, then he has to scream. And if you don't hear the scream, then he has to give you a pinch. And if necessary, gives you a patch. And he has to kick you in the stomach too, until you hear it. But he's talking to us all the time. And he's not talking, he's obviously, we're not Nevi'im, we're not having visions, we don't hear a sound as a form of a baskol that we could detect, that sounds to us like something coming from heaven, from Shemaim, but from all of the events of our lives, that's what the baskol is, kol adahadra, that sound that's coming to us from all of creation. all of our experiences, everything we see in life is telling us something about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is telling us something about who we are at that moment. And that's what it means when the Gemara says, which Reb Tzadok explains at length, when the Gemara says, Aznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha, let your ears hear words that are spoken from behind you. Which the Gemara at the end of Megillah explains, and it's in the Yerushalmi and Shabbos explains, that therefore we found that there were tzaddikim, tanoim, and amaroim, that they would be walking in the marketplace, or they'd be walking past the yeshiva where the boys were learning a cheder, and they would hear the boys say a certain pasuk, and they said, oh, this is what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants us to do. Or they would ask, like the famous Ma'is with Mordechai and the children, Psychli Psukacha, Kindlech, what pasuk did you learn today? Utsuaitz of a sufa that I remember, Utsuaitz of a sufa that I oh, so Mordechai knows, it's good, it's gonna be okay, we're gonna be alright. He heard the children were saying, Utsuaitz of a sufa that I means that the enemies, the anti-Semites make, they conspire against us. Layakim is not going to be. It's not going to be Masufa. It's going to be turned around. Layakim. It's not going to. So Mordechai had his chaskas from that. So he understood. Mordechai understood that, especially when it comes to children, it's in a very pure way that Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us all the time, and he's saying good things all the time to the world. But the question is, you know, has it come through you? Like the B'ditchavah says, that if you hold a black piece of cloth up to the sun, it becomes blacker. If it's white, then it becomes whiter. In other words, if you're a dark person, then even the Baruch Shem can tell you the best things in the world, it's a schlechte Sache. As the Chamagid said, it's a very deep question. Go to the Bais Medrash, and there's my student, the Rebbe Abzusha. And the Rebbe Abzusha asked him for an explanation of how to deal with tzaros. So he comes to the Medrash. You know where the Rebbe Abzusha used to sit? He used to sit by the stove in the back. He was always dirty from the coal and everything. Rebbe Abzusha used to sit there saying Tehillim. So he was asking, where's the Rebbe Abzusha? And they showed him that. And he came over to Rebbe Abzusha. He starts to say, he says, I was by Mizrach Magid, I was by the Rebbe, and I'm having difficulties with face, with panos, with the children. And the Mizrach Magid said that you would be able to explain this to me. So the Rebbe Abzusha, you know, the Rebbe Abzusha's whole life, mamish from Aleph till Sof is Saras. And I'm not going to go through the biography when we come to talk about the Rebbe Abzusha. It's an unbelievable tzaris. You know, we have so many, I mean, the ma'isim that we have, and what don't we have? It's all tzaris. So he asked the Rebbe Abzusha, the Mizrach Magid said you would explain to me the meaning of suffering. So the Rebbe Abzusha said, my Rebbe, I don't understand how my Rebbe said such a thing. The Baruch Hashem, what do I know about suffering? What would I know about suffering? Maybe speak to someone that had tzaris. Baruch Hashem, I never had tzaris. Those are eyes that see things in a certain way. So no matter what, since the cloth is so white, when you hold it up to the sun, it becomes even more beautiful. But a person who's dark, so no matter what Hashem says to that person, it comes out bad. You always hear something bad. There's always something bad. And that's what it means, and I explained once in the Shir, that's what it means that the Baruch Shalom came to offer the Torah in Har Sinai. Remember the Gemara says in Shabbos that the Baruch Shalom offered the Torah to the representative, to the nations of the world. So this one asks, was it saying the Torah? It says you can't steal. Oh, forget it's not for us. This one says, was it saying the Torah? So Baruch Shalom says you can't murder. So it's not for us. And was it saying the Torah? Another one says you can't commit adultery. That's not for us. So the Rebbe Tzadok is that when he came to Klai, so Baruch Hashem, so Klai, so Nasim, Nishmagit, right? And I always said whenever I said this piece of Rebbe Tzadok that what if we would have asked, it would have been Gakat Tzaros. Because if the Baruch Shalom said, you know, you can't have an all-cash business in your basement, so what would we have done? Or you have to, you know, you have to answer everything on the tax form, Pinklech, exactly. So it wouldn't have been so good. It wouldn't have been so good. So how come, so the Reb Tzadok asks, it doesn't seem to be fair. Where's Yaisha? When Yishmael asks, what is it saying to Torah? When the Esav asks, what is it saying to Torah? Why does the Baruch Shalom tell them the one thing that they have the biggest problem with? Where's Yaisha? Why does the Baruch Shalom say, you get off Shabbos, everybody likes that, then you can, then you Yontif also, then the Golas will be a Yontif Shaini, and Chalamayit is also not so good to work, and then there's a Purim, it's nice, Chanukah, it's nice, you can say Kabbalah Zavichusim to honor your parents, everybody understands it, Dabar Sichli. The one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells each of the nations is that is exactly the thing that they feel that they can't overcome. So it's Reb Tzadok asks, it's not Yaisha. It doesn't seem to be fair. So Reb Tzadok says, the Rebbeinu Shalom is always saying the whole Torah, saying good things, and you offer them the whole Torah. But like it goes in the old song, a man hears what he wants to hear, but disregards the rest, you know? So if a person's hung up on something, to have the inside is dark, then no matter what you tell the person, you can tell the person the best thing in the world, he only hears that one thing, right? If you're a religious person, and you go to someone who's afraid of religion. I don't mean someone that's apathetic. Someone that's afraid. Or someone that's angry. There are people that are angry about religion. They're angry at God. You don't have to say a word. You walk into the room with a yarmulke on. He's already upset. He's already upset, right? He's already angry. Why? You didn't even say anything. Or you could tell him, I want to tell you something. The Baruchim says, there's a method that says that you have to love everybody. That's nice. So you have to love everybody. Give the guy a hug. He'll say, oh, you don't give me this Hasidic stuff. Right? You don't start me with this thing. Because why? Because he's upset. He's upset. You have a Jew that lived through the Holocaust that nobody ever is allowed to judge a person who went through that misery. So no matter what you tell him, you can tell him over the most beautiful Rebbe Akiva Eggers, you can tell him over the most beautiful, you know, you can tell him, you know, Avdei Nezes, you can tell him what the most beautiful stuff in the world. And how Torah is so sweet and so beautiful. But to him, there's always one thing. How come 6 million died? How could God be good if 6 million died? And he hears this. And it doesn't let him go on. It doesn't allow him to go on. And he only hears that one thing. So it's the same thing. When it comes to the Baruch Shalom, Tzaddik says, the Baruch Shalom offered the whole Torah to the nations of the world. But if your thing is stealing, someone like Baruch Hu says to you the whole Torah from Bereishis to Lenech Yisrael, but all he hears that it says don't steal. It says don't steal. Don't steal. Right? That's all it says. That's all they hear. Because if that person can't receive that, can't like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh thought, he's not able to hear the inner voice. He's not able to focus on what's on the whole, because he's so torn apart by that thing. Or the example that I've often given is, you know, I've dealt with situations like this, that, you know, you'll give a talk to Jewish women, they should all be well. You give a talk, so invariably there'll be somebody there in the Olam, or the Olama, there'll be somebody there that, you know, that will raise the hand at the end. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. You can be talking about Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat. Everybody likes Tu B'Shvat. You plant a tree, it grows, it's nice. Tu B'Shvat, Higia, Chag Ilan, this is what could be bad. There'll always be, at the end of the lecture, we spoke about Tu B'Shvat, right? At the end of the lecture, yes. Rabbi, how do you explain the Bracha Shloah Sani Isha? I'm talking to you about trees, you're talking about Shloah Sani Isha. What does one thing have to do with the other? The Tarot says, you could talk about Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av, you talked about the most beautiful things in the world. But there's one thing that she hears, that God doesn't love me. Because if God loved me, how could he allow such a bracha? Which he doesn't understand the bracha, what that means, but how could God love me? How could God love me? Because a person can't bear not being loved. So because of that, the person is not able to hear all the good. If something says the person is saying all the time good, there is no evil. The person doesn't say bad things. Nothing bad is coming from above. But when it goes through that process of when it passes through the individual, you hear the Devar Hashem, you hear the echo, the bas kol, depending upon what kind of person you are. That's how it sounds to you. That's how it comes to you. So if you're a person, you're negative, then it comes to you like the Baruch Shalom is always saying, telling you a bad thing. If you're a person that's positive, you hear the Baruch Shalom in a good way. Then he'll come to you in that way. And it has to do with a person's bechira, free choice, and avoda. That's why Reb Tzaddik explains, the Chazal tell us that there are certain individuals who are more sensitive to picking up on the bas kol. Children. Because children are not cluttered. Children aren't cluttered. That means children, they're not, it doesn't davka have to be this way. It doesn't davka have to be a certain way. You know, they're prepared to always hear something new. As adults, we already have certain opinions that we've reached, and we've concluded that these are that. If you walk into, you know, if you, imagine walking into, a major congregation, a big shul of people who were brought up, let's say, in a more modern background, and the rabbi would get up that day and start and say, Rabbi, what I would like to say to all of you is that I believe b'emunah shleima that every single thing that the Satan Rav taught about Zionism is correct. Do you think that rabbi would be in his job tomorrow? Right? And then the same thing would happen if what happened if the Satan Rav would walk into his island and say, Rabbi, I want to tell you everything that Rabbi Reines and that Rav Kook said is 100%. It would be Ois Rabbi. Yeah? But you stop and think for a second. Did the people in each one of those places work through those ideas? Did the people in the modern congregation, are they familiar with Vayol Moshe? Are they familiar with the Vayol? Do they know who we're talking about? He wasn't Stam an Amharis, the Satmarov? And he was basing his teachings upon very strong Torahs that come from Chazal, from the Zohar, and so on. And then in the other, by the other Olam as well. When some will just say, Rav Kook is this or Rav Kook is that, are they familiar with Rav Kook? Wasn't an Am Haaretz? And do they know where Rav Kook was learning, where he was understanding, from where he got, and there are teachings from Chazal that are very clear in Chazal, like this and like that, and who knows, until the Baruch Shalom sends Mashiach to Kano, we don't know. For someone to say with absolute certainty, who knows? We know that we Baruch Hashem Teyag Mitzvahs, and Shulchan Aruch, Chazdei Hashem. And all of us, whether he's from the modern congregation, or he's from the Satmar Rav, we agree on the Ani Mamans, Baruch Hashem. But to know with absolute certainty, so you see, children don't have that. Children don't have that. You can't even go to somebody, let's say, we were fooling around with the guys in class, talk to a New York Mets fan, a New York Yankee fan, right? You have a Mets and Yankee. Mm-hmm. So now we had a whole thing before the MS was clarified. So what happened? The guys in class, the guy that heard me call, you're not a Mets fan. You're from another team, so. You talk to a Met fan. You talk to a Met fan, and as many times as they're losing, and regardless of what their record is compared to the Yankees, they'll still say the Emmets, they're better than the Yankees. How's that work out? No, it wasn't a good game. You ever like all these funny svaras? Injuries, it wasn't a good game. The wind blew the wrong way. Just that the fly ball, the light got in his eye. All these svaras, there's some madness svaras. All that means is that a person is so committed to looking at things in a certain way. Children are not like that. Children are not like that. They're ready to hear. They can listen. And because of that, they're more tuned into the basko. They're more tuned into that voice, to that sound. They can hear it. They can hear it. So the person's machshav is the person's thoughts, the person's feelings, the person's emotions. There's an ingredient of free choice, and there's something that God is telling you inside your head. How you hear the Dvar Hashem inside your head, what you make of the Dvar Hashem inside your head. You could turn it around and you can create the most destructive philosophy. You could support the craziest ideology. But we all grow up with certain opinions and ideas. Many of these opinions and ideas were never actually studied under a microscope. We got them. We got them from a teacher. We got them from a friend. We got them from a parent. Where's it saying that you're right? You're screaming and yelling. How could they be right? How could they be right? How do you know that? So you see, an adult is stuck in a certain way of thinking. And because you become stuck in a certain way of thinking, it's very hard to be macabre something. It's very hard to be sensitive to the echo. That's why Chazal say also that Meshuggah, crazy people, they hear the Basko. Because the Meshuggah is not, he doesn't have to be this way. He could, in one minute he'll say this is the most important thing in the world, and then a minute later he'll say that's Narishka. He's not Meshubit to a way of thinking. He's not Meshubit to a way of thinking. He's not enslaved to a certain disposition. And because of that, when Hashem says something different, he can hear it. But most people are enslaved to a certain way of thinking. They're enslaved to it. And even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he tells you, you hear the same thing. This is no good, this is no good, this is no good, this is no good. God doesn't love you, God hates you, God hates women, God hates this, God hates that, and so on and so forth. You could say to that person the Pshat and Shalos on Isha, and bring all the Mefarshim, and sit and say 100 Shiurim to explain that what it means, and the person will still come to the conclusion that God hates me. That God hates me. How could God hate? Why would God hate you? What does he have against you? He made you. What do you think? He has some problem with you? No, but this is a svara. And when a person is going through suffering, same thing. A person goes through a difficult time. If you don't strengthen your machshav, your mind, and start to hear, and try to be mamtik the dinim, to try to find the good in what you're going through, all you can come up with is the same thing as that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either he's rejected me, he's neglected me, he hates me, or he doesn't exist. Or he doesn't exist. Which is harder to live with than neglecting you or hurting you. That already you could take a patch, but that it doesn't exist is unbearable. Well, this is what we go through. That's the Nina de Basco. Let's just start. We have 5 minutes. Let's start. What you have there in English, I thought this would be a one-time favor I would do for you. I'll do a little bit in English. Because such a wonderful translation came out recently of the Tzavas HaRivash. Let me just tell you something. So we're not going to actually start learning it. We're going to be learning different sections in the Tzavas HaRivash. The Tzavas HaRivash actually is called the Last Will and Testament. Tzavah, as you all know, is a last will and testament before someone dies, either written or oral. last will and testament that's given over. And this is referred to as the Tzavos HaRivash. The Tanya says in the 25th parak of Igeres HaKadosh that the Baal Shem Tov never gave any last Tzavos. We don't have a last will and testament from the Baal Shem Tov. But what this compilation, what this collection is simply a likud of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov that he said not in Hebrew. The Baal Shem Tov didn't teach in Hebrew. The Baal Shem Tov taught in Yiddish. And the author of this compilation is unknown. We don't know who the author is, but we do know that after the writings of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, meaning the Toldos Yaakov Yosef himself, Ksoinis Pas himself, and Nispaneach, the earliest Hasidic writings, the earliest and most authentic writings of Chassidus are from the Tzavos HaRivash, that are attributed to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It should be clear, however, that there are teachings here in the Tzavos HaRivash that are already teachings that were explained, that were interpreted by Mizritch HaMagid. They were interpreted by Mizritch HaMagid, not from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh himself, but as the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov passed through the mind of Mizritch HaMagid. Also, another point, just so that next week we'll be able to start the Mizritch HaMagid to learn some of these Torahs, is that the reason that this is called Tzavos HaRivash, even though these teachings are found in other compilations, they are found in the writings of Kedushas Levi, they're found in a collection of writings from Mizritch HaMagid himself. So there's not a chiddush in these are found in other places, what's found in what's called the Last Will and Testament. But the reason it's called Tzavos HaRivash by whoever compiled it is because this is the earliest selection of passages from these Torahs of the Baal Shem Tov that would serve as a manual for religious ethics. In other words, it's not teachings, concepts and ideas, let's say, from Parsha or ideas in Chassidus, but a day-to-day manual. A manual for how a Jew is supposed to live up to the Torahs of the Baal Shem Tov. That's why it's called Tzavos HaRivash. Not that he actually gave over before his death a last will and testament, as the Tanya explains in the Geras HaKadosh. It wasn't something that he said. But this is a compilation from teachings that were circulating among the students. It was actually found among the writings or the manuscripts of a Tzadik Reb Yeshayah from Yanov. That's where it comes from, Reb Yeshayah from Yanov. That was found amongst his manuscripts, but it was found really by all the early Talmidim from they had, Kozhin Tzemakid was really the Mizritch HaMagid's biggest Talmidim, had these teachings. But the Tzavos HaRivash was the earliest compilation after the publication of the Toldos' writings, where we have mamish, a manual for religious ethics of how a Jew is supposed to live in this world. The central theme, which is the first one we're going to talk about, and then we'll break from our. The central theme of the Tzavah, of this compilation, is Dveikus. Dveikus, which is the Yesod, which is passing through all 10 of these points, which you'll see as we begin to learn. As we begin to learn some of the teachings from Tzavos HaRivash, that the concept of Dveikus, cleaving to Hashem, being attached to Hashem, meaning there being a continuous and ongoing relationship with Hashem, and consciousness of God as being the only reality, which we saw already in the first three points, really, but God consciousness, that's what Dveikus is, being constantly aware of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's presence in your life, in every word, thought, and action, in every event that you see in your life, and whatever you hear, being continuously conscious of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the subject of Dveikus, and that is the main theme of the Tzavos HaRivash. Second theme, which would be Tefillah, would be Davening, which Davening also brings out all the other Yesaitis from these 10 points. But we're going to begin next week to learn some selections from the Tzavos HaRivash on the subject of Dveikus, of cleaving and attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this translation was put out recently by Lubavitch, and if I'm not mistaken, take a look. I have it in the room by, I think, Rabbi Mendel. But it's an excellent translation, and that's why I thought that just for these Yesaitis, they're very short. It would be better for us to do it at least to begin with in English. Then we'll continue with the other Svarim that are not translated. We'll continue in Lashon HaKodesh.